this is Stephanie Mavronis for the Mark Steiner Show. I'm here to talk a little bit about what's in this week's edition of City Paper. I'm here with Editor-in-Chief Karen Hubert, who's joining me to talk about the sizzling summer issue and some of the other things that are inside of that.
Thanks for having me.
So before we get into some of the summer-related articles, I know that one of the big pieces of news locally that people can find inside of this issue is a sort of expanded piece on the fact that HUD cut a fifth of the city's homeless budget, and I think that was done by Ed Erickson Jr.
Yes, we wrote about this on a blog last week, but there's an expanded version of the article in this week's paper. And it's really looking at the cuts and how that's going to impact the homeless and homeless service providers in the city, and how they are going to have to scramble in the next year to really make sure that the homeless are housed and that they get into transitional housing and permanent housing. So it was a real surprise, this multi-million dollar cut to homeless services in Baltimore.
Right. And we'll continue covering that story, too, here on the Mark Steiner Show. But I wanted to point out to our listeners that you can get some of the background on that story and hear how kind of some of the initial moves that advocates and, service providers are making here, too. So I wanted to shout that out. I know we're recording this and it's raining outside, so it doesn't seem like summer is right around the corner. But this is an annual issue, the sizzling summer issue.
Right. It has been a very Seattle-esque couple of weeks here in Baltimore, and it seems like summer is never going to come. Nonetheless, every year at this time, we do a sizzling summer issue that's basically a preview of what's happening in the city all summer long. So it spans Labor Day, Memorial Day to Labor Day, and it has lists of gazillions of things you can do on the 4th of July, what's coming down the pike in terms of theater and art exhibitions, music shows, etc. So it's packed with lists of everything pretty much that's happening in Baltimore this summer. I say everything, but I'm sure now we'll get an angry call from a reader who says, wait, you forgot to list my show. But we try to be comprehensive.
Great. Yeah, I know one of the lists in there that was really interesting that I had a chance to look at was, the different City Paper writers, photographers put together a list of their summer beach read picks. And I know you've selected a group of short stories for that. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. One of the things that is always a challenge for me as a reader is that I really like a book that you can fall into and submerge yourself in. I think about it as like falling into a pool in the summertime and just being sort of surrounded by the world of a novel. But for me, it's always dangerous because I fall into that world and then miss my vacation because all I want to do is sit there and read this novel. So so I recommended some short stories by Alice Munro, who has 13 different collections out there and I think is one of the best short story writers today. She's a Canadian writer, if anybody doesn't know her. She's pretty well known. But her stories are amazing and I think are a great perfect summer read.
Mm-hmm. And you really have something in there for everyone. Like I know Brandon Soderberg selected a few things, but one of, Amiri Baraka's SOS poems collection, which is really cool. And there's also some, Dee Watkins, The Cook Up, which, we've been reading here at the Mark Steiner Show. Is there anything else from that list that you want to highlight?
Well, one of the things I think is also interesting is we have a couple of books that are recommended toward the end of the list that are older political books from the 60s and 70s, looking at presidential campaigns. And a lot of the writers see some parallels with Trump's campaign and some of these early campaigns, and also hindsight being 2020, look at some of the mistakes that the Republican and Democratic parties made that led us to where we are today.
Super appropriate for this time. No, that's great. Check out that list for sure. And I know another interesting thing that you brought to this issue was kind of a collection of thoughts on barbecuing. How did that come to be?
Well, one of the things there was a couple of things I'm touching on in this essay about barbecuing in Baltimore. One, I think it's interesting to think of barbecuing as an urban experience. Mm-hmm. It's different than the suburban thing where you're after privacy and you sit in your cul-de-sac in your backyard, your fenced backyard, and you barbecue. In Baltimore City, where so many of us live in row houses, it's a totally different experience. And it requires a bit of a dance mm-hmm. to coordinate your barbecue, say, with your neighbor's cocktail hours, since you're, in my case, in a row house. I'm 11 inches from my neighbor's back deck. So it's really a shared space. So in the essay, I'm exploring that idea and sort of what's different about barbecuing in the city. And then I also talk about I like to barbecue myself, and I have always been struck by the fact that it's so traditionally a man's role. Mm-hmm. And so I got a little bit curious about why that was and tried to track that down in some feminist analysis and literature. And there's not a lot written about it, but but you can extrapolate from some of it. For example, one of my favorite feminist books is Barbara Ehrenreich and Deirdre English's 100 Years of Expert Advice to Women. That book really breaks down how the Industrial Revolution impacted the home in the 1950s mm-hmm. when Rosie the Riveter was sent out of the factories and back to the home. But some of the science that was applied to factory life, like efficiency of work and movement, et cetera, began to be applied to the home and mm-hmm. the domestic life. And that led to sort of the codification of gender roles in the 1950s and 60s. And that's when Dad took on the role of barbecuing. And I was curious about the way that that is a man's role still. Like the mm-hmm. ads for barbecue grills are always directed at men. It's always a Father's Day gift idea that's promoted in the media. So anyway, I just explore that and challenge that idea and think a little bit about like why we barbecue, what it does for us and how it reminds us of camping and the outdoors, even if we're in this urban environment.
Right. No, it's all I just pulled out my grill a couple days ago. And so it was nice to catch a glimpse of the summer that is to come. So I loved reading that piece because it's something you don't always take a second to step back and think about in a deeper way. And so I liked what you brought to the page with that. That was really cool.
Thanks. It was fun to mull over for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And I know you mentioned that Brandon Weigel wrote about the upcoming Fields Festival. Do you want to talk a little bit about that
piece? Yeah. We have an extended Q&A with Deacon of Animal Collective. Mm-hmm. And Brandon Weigel spent quite a bit of time talking to him. And it's interesting because Deacon really opens up and talks about his struggles creatively, some of the blocks that he encounters as mm-hmm. an artist. And it's a intimate, interesting conversation. And we have a fairly lengthy Q&A in the paper, but we're running the entire 2.5-hour interview transcript online as well. So people who are really curious about the artistic process for mm-hmm. him and the challenges and struggles that he faces can access that online. The other thing we have in the paper that's really interesting this week is we have a piece on Silver Queen corn and the controversy and debates over Silver Queen, which is a Maryland corn that mm-hmm. People are huge fans of. And the writer describes it as the cult of the Silver Queen. And so she looks at the origins of that corn, the role it's played in Maryland, and also offer some great recipes for corn fritters and tomato jam and a kale salad. Basically the perfect summer meal. So that's also one of the items in the paper this week.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to reading that. That sounds really cool. Well, Karen Hubert, editor-in-chief of the City Paper, thank you so much for joining me. And please pick up your copy of City Paper around town or visit citypaper.com to see some of the features online as well. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineer is Andrea Melton. Our interns are Morgan Barber, Calvin Perry, and Sienna Greaves. Our theme music is by Juan Matthews of Clean Cuts. Send me your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org. To podcast the Mark Steiner Show and share it with your friends, visit us on the web at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And for your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.